Before we start today's show, I want to remind everybody out there, this is go time. Your big time drafts are on the way.
Big time.
The big ones.
The biggest.
The important ones. Look, I saw a poll on Twitter. They're coming up. Most of your most important leagues are right now. So check out the Ultimate Draft Kit. Maybe do some cramming before your draft. Check out our tier-based rankings, all of our player profile videos, sleepers, breakouts, busts, values. We've got consistency charts. We've got printable cheat sheets. We've got player news in the app now, which, by the way, you get access to the app when you get the Ultimate Draft Kit. So learn everything that's inside at ultimatedraftkit.com.
Hey, this is Austin Eckler, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Tuesday, August 24th. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Or good night, I guess.
Thank you, Mike.
Want to cover all the bases.
Right.
Hello? You can be listening at any time.
Yeah.
Hello would have worked, though. Just.
Yeah, but that's not very personal.
This says, I'm watching you. This says...
I could be watching
this
you.
This says, look over your shoulder. I'm there.
I have never been one of those privacy freaks, you
right?
know, that are paranoid about my being listened to by the devices in my home.
Yeah, because you already know you are.
Yeah, I guess I just accept it. But we did have one of those wait a minute moments the other day.
Oh, like the ad came through?
Yeah, like, so my son has a little Echo Dot in the room,
mm-hmm.
and we've been I just started reading Harry Potter to him. And Harry, you're a wizard. So we're like, and I'm doing all the voices, but they're just not the same every night.
You know, oh man, I know that
they completely changed. I think Hagrid was from the deep south last time we did the show. But so we've been reading Harry Potter. He's loving it. We got the, you know, just father son time at night. But now he's getting Harry Potter ads on his Echo.
Wait, on the Echo? You get ads on
the Echo? Oh, it's not a dot. It's not a dot. It's the one with the little screen.
Ah.
The show, the Echo show. So now he's got a Harry Potter ad on the Echo show.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I know we're being listened to, but when it happens right in front of your face.
But if that Echo were to say, good night, good evening, good morning, you'd feel
yeah,
better because
right.
you know
it's ambiguous.
It's personal.
And Mike is listening.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike, you hear
that? Look, that's when I'm not doing fantasy football analysis, I got the headset on.
Right.
And I'm listening. I'm like, oh, we got another one, fellas. Another Harry Potter fan.
He's,
big nerd.
He's listening at
big
night.
Big nerd.
Right, right. Yes, us nerds. All right, we do have a jam-packed show. Austin Eckler is joining us. Actually, he joined us yesterday. And
yep.
We're going to share that interview with you, talking about Chargers camp, talking about fantasy football, talking about his potential on the goal line, among other things.
It's a delightful interview.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He is.
We have our breakout picks today. So each of us are going to share a couple names with you, players that we are excited for heading into the season. And I'm going to be honest, we needed another breakout episode because when you do one of these back in like May, maybe...
Well, that's called early.
Things change.
Yeah, that's the early breakout show. And we went and we reviewed the early breakouts. And the wrong kind of break.
Oh, Cam Akers!
Seemed to happen to the players that we were talking about.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the game last night as well, Mike. I know you have had yourself.
Respect my rights, please.
Well, you.
I will not be answering any Troutman-related questions.
Okay, Jason and I will discuss
the
Troutman of your privacy.
My HIPAA rights.
Okay. A reminder, we mentioned it yesterday, the Megla Bowl. You can join it right now. I am happy to report we're over 5,500 people that have joined the Megla Bowl in one day.
More!
So my goal of 10,000 people in the largest fantasy football league on earth, we're well on our way. So you can check that out at megalobowl.com, and you can join. That's being hosted on Sleeper, and the winner is a member of the 2022 Listener League.
If we do somehow get the Megalobowl to that level, we got to call Guinness.
For sure.
We got to get this thing verified.
The beer company or the...
Yes, them. And then we'll call the people who do the records.
Got it.
Because you celebrate when you break the record.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be clear, this show is stupid, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's make sure. And let's move on.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. Presented by Traeger Grills.
All right, we have two storylines to cover in Where There's Smoke, There's Fire. The first one, I'm really glad it's in here because I fired up the Madden 22 last night.
Mm-hmm.
I got whooped by my 10-year-old.
That happens.
And he played the Chiefs, and I was Tampa Bay. But my third down running back was Gio Bernard.
Oh.
And Bruce Arians told reporters that he's been more than pretty good and will be a major part of the rushing attack.
More than pretty good?
Right.
That's
pretty
good.
If he had said pretty good, he'd be like, he's more than pretty good.
What would that be?
Great.
Good. No, that would be more. He's been more than good is great. More than pretty good is good. When you're pretty good.
Pretty good is.
Pretty good is less than full good.
Oh, is it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty good.
But if you throw two pretties in there, it's above it, right?
Absolutely.
So pretty good.
Pretty good. That's above good. But someone that's pretty good is like they're almost to full good. So I would say that he's better than pretty good. He's good.
Better than,
according to Bruce Arians. Now, keep in mind, Bruce Arians, what was that running back he talked up so much
Andre
last year? Well, sure. I mean, you could go back any year, but I was going with rookie sensation Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yes.
Who he has also talked up this offseason.
Yeah, I think we talked up Keyshawn Vaughn, not we, the fantasy community, more than Bruce did. But
Bruce did say he was going to have a breakout season.
Last year?
Yeah.
Well, Bruce is a lot. Look, this is smoke for fantasy implications for Gio Bernard, but it is not smoke when it comes to bringing up the name Gio Bernard for Tom Brady. One of the reasons I like Tom Brady and I brought up on our show about Tom Brady was Gio Bernard's going to help him. Having somebody that's competent, a veteran in the passing game, he doesn't have to be rookie year Gio Bernard. He doesn't have to have the level of speed and breakaway ability. He just needs to reliably catch the ball when Tom decides to check it down the way James White did, the way that so many of those running backs in New England used to do for him. It's better than having Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette try to catch a football.
I think it's worth discussing Gio's standalone PPR late round value, though, because when he first signed and there was all the questions of, oh, is this a James White type of guy? To me, just, you know, analysis wise, I was like, no, this is not going to happen. It's a different system than the one in New England. And in New England, he was throwing to, you know, Jacoby Myers and nobody, you know. Then James White got a ton of targets, whereas now you've got Godwin and Evans and Antonio Brown. So I did not think Giovanni Bernard was worth sniffing a late-round PPR pick with. however, I do question whether or not he can be valuable. If you're a zero RB drafter and you are looking for late-round PPR guys to kind of hold down the fort until you can get someone off of waivers, I guess the question I have is, do you believe that he will actually be the pass-catching third down back, or will it also be Leonard Fournette? Will Keyshawn Vaughn get involved? Will Gio not really have enough targets in the passing game to be standalone relevant?
So last year, it looks like we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers throwing 20% of their targets to the running back position, which that's a top 12 number. So despite the limitations of these running backs and their hands. I mean, we know that when Ronald Jones actually catches it, great things happen because
the defense is shocked. They've already stopped playing.
First they go, "Oh, you did it, Ronald! You did it!" And Ronald is a very shifty, athletic running back who can create big plays, but his hands are very suspect. So it seems like the targets will still be there. Is my point. So, but how many catches per game can you possibly project for Gio?
Not many. They average 12 third downs a game. as a team, and it probably went down over the back half of the year. You know, having that many opportunities, I'm not interested in, even in a PPR league, I'm not personally interested in Gio because I don't think he's going to do a lot with the touches. He's going to get the ball, but I don't think he can do a ton with it.
So if you're a third down back and you only get it on the field on third down, when it's second and long and your team picks up the first, are you kind of disappointed?
I would hope, no.
You're like, yeah, team. Oh, man.
But probably. I mean, maybe it's a contract year, you know? You need those stats.
For what it's worth, the fewest third downs per game was Minnesota last year.
Oh, impressive.
Probably because Dalvin was chunking away every second down. The most? Pittsburgh.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense when you're throwing the ball 1 yard from the line of scrimmage every play.
That was part of the plan.
All right, so the second thing I want to talk about is what took place last night, the Saints quarterback situation.
Oh,
Sean Payton, he declined to name a starting quarterback after the game.
Did he wink?
He didn't wink.
Bink!
He essentially, you know, we were watching Winston and Taysom Hill. Winston had basically a perfect performance. He was 9 for 10, 123 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. Taysom Hill wasn't bad. He was over a 90 passer rating. He was 11 for 20, 138, and 1. As a coach, you'd imagine there's a more holistic approach to the selection than the stat line from the second preseason game, which is probably why you saw some hesitation here. However, the upside for this team, where do you find it? Like, are you banking on Winston at this point?
So, Andy, you and I both, last night, we changed our stats. You changed back. You started with Jameis, but we changed to Jameis, expecting him to get the starting nod based on last night's performance. I think it would be difficult for Sean Payton, who is telling these guys that they have a shot, that this matters, and to have this performance happen, and then be like, yeah, but I was lying. It was Taysom the whole time because Jameis did earn it yesterday, and what impressed me the most was actually his one throwaway, which was actually an overthrow of a running back. It wasn't a great throw, but what happened is they got the ball at midfield, and this is the time for him to shine. He's trying to win it, and he was rolling out, looked like he was going deep, and then kind of decided to check it down and play it safe, and it was like, oh, okay, Jameis. And then they punted, and then they got the ball back and then scored a touchdown. It just seemed like what people have tried to tell Jameis forever is like sometimes punting is the right move, not picking it up. And so the fact that he did that, won the game so handedly, I think he will be the starter. However, I was also surprised, unpleasantly so, when I was statting out Jameis with this receiving core,
right,
his options, and I do not like they don't have a lot of options on offense here. They're without Michael Thomas, no Traquan Smith right now. Troutman went down. So you've got Kamara and apparently the best wide receiver of all time, Marquez Callaway. So if I were – my point is when I was statting them out, I was like, man, if I was a coach, I feel like you would have another aspect to your offense with Taysom. Feel like I would still want Taysom as the head coach, but I expect it to be Winston.
So in my opinion, then, to bring it into the segment, no fire from Winston as a fantasy quarterback for me either. And as nice as it is to see him make those decisions in preseason game two, it's when the team's down by a touchdown or two touchdowns that I want to see him make those on the field. Now, if I was head coach Sean Payton, With this stat line as my emotional backing to defend to my team, I would take the chance on Winston here because you saw Taysom last year. See what you have in Winston and make a transition if you need to at that point. If he's unsuccessful, that's the way I would go. But for fantasy purposes, Hill is more valuable because he's going to run the football consistently. Winston's going to be 130 to 250 rushing yards. Not a big number. So, Mike, where do you stand on the whole discussion?
I think Jameis will end up as the starting quarterback. And for fantasy purposes, I was also pretty bummed when I plugged him in because Jameis has always been so fun for fantasy football. And, big time plays, airing it out. Yeah, he threw interceptions, but then he was always giving you huge performances. What I think though is Jameis could be a Jameis isn't somebody you're going to draft necessarily, though he's fine honestly as a quarterback too in a super flex. But as time goes along, it won't surprise me to see Jameis become fantasy value or fantasy relevant as he gets Michael Thomas back. If Callaway really is this player that we've seen shining in training camp and shining on the field in preseason, I think by the halfway point of the football season that people could be picking Jameis up and going, okay, I'm gonna play this guy for a few weeks.
I do want to remind people, and this was part of the process last night with statting Jameis and looking at my numbers, is that historically he wasn't, I mean, he had one single year with Bruce Arians, who is kind of known for this, you know, downfield
right.
with elite wide receiver options where he was fantasy relevant. His fantasy finishes the previous 4 years were not good. And so you have a history with him. He was 13th in his rookie year. Then he was 12, 22, 22. So I kind of tried to take a balanced approach saying, look, if Jason's right, if the recipe is I follow Drew Brees, I don't turn the ball over, our defense is elite, then he's probably going to be middle of the pack. But it's going to be interesting to watch, and hopefully we get some clarity. Like fantasy players that are drafting this weekend would love to know who the quarterback is in New Orleans.
Yeah, the latest comment from Peyton yesterday was when asked when is he going to make a decision, he said before game one. So thanks.
Cool. All right, that was Where There's Smoke, There's Fire, presented by Traeger Grills. You can put a Traeger wood pellet grill in your starting lineup and make every game day more delicious. You can head to Traeger.com/footballers to discover how simple wood-fired cooking can be. We're going to Traeger out for our League of Record draft.
Yes, we are, baby.
So Sunday, there will be ribs. There will be, burnt ends. There's going to be some...
I've already started fasting.
Have you?
I'm gearing up.
Didn't you say you had a lot of pizza last night?
Look, I was a little bit sad. I meant this morning, Andy.
Oh, okay. Well, let's.
I haven't had breakfast.
Let's transition into the news.
News and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
Well, last night's game, there's more to discuss here. We had Travis Etienne exit with a foot injury in the New Orleans-Jacksonville game. Was in a walking boot after the game. Ian Rappaport said he suffered a Lisfranc foot injury.
No, I missed that
part. The x-rays that I saw, like the report this morning, was that the x-rays were negative.
Yeah,
what does that even mean, though, when they say it? They said it's negative on a Lisfranc injury.
Yeah, it's one of those where I think we'll have a better timeline coming out in the next 24 hours or so and have a better understanding. But this is obviously terrible news for him, for Travis Etienne, and James Robinson's value goes up. I would expect that if there is an injury like this, he's currently in a boot, it's a Lisfranc, that you're going to see James Robinson really shouldering the load to start the season.
But how
and Carlos Hyde will be involved.
That was going
to
be
the bemoaning cries of every Jacksonville fan.
That was going to be my question: is James Robinson? Because the way that it worked, if you're watching the game, it was a whole lot of James Robinson. Then it was Carlos Hyde, and then we saw Travis Etienne, very limited snaps, unfortunately, because of the foot injury. Is James Robinson now? Let's say that Etienne's going to miss a couple games. Is Robinson presenting a value where he is, or do you have concerns that the way that Urban Meyer is going to use the running backs is that Carlos Hyde will be in there too much?
He's an extreme value where he's
been
drafted. Yeah. Okay. Regardless of Carlos Hyde, he's a huge value there, and this is going to be hard for Travis Etienne to deliver on expectations as a rookie. If he doesn't get the opportunity to be out on the field for a number of weeks, if that ends up the case, like, there is no chance that he goes from not on the field to dominant rusher on this offense. I would put the odds at zero. Like, I think I read before the season, the DraftKings line on rushing yards for him was like 650. Like, that's not happening. Like, there's no way he's rushing for 650 yards. He might still be the third down back for the second half of the year, but I would be concerned with, I mean, maybe that's the question, Jason. What are you doing with ETN in drafts? Because he's going well ahead of James Robinson, and now...
Yeah, I mean, you can't draft Travis Etienne where he's been drafted. He's been in the fifth round.
How far does he have to drop?
I don't think I'm going to take a shot on him until he's at least in the eighth round, and even then, I assume that situation is very short-sighted in the sense that, like, in the next 24 hours, I think we'll have a more clear timeline, and then I'll have to decide where he ends up landing based on do we expect him to miss. If they say, oh, he could be ready week one, then, yeah, seventh, eighth round, I think I'm willing to take him and stash him because he was always a second half of the year player more than a, oh, he's going to come out week one and dominate. When I've taken Travis Etienne, that's never been the idea.
For the second consecutive offseason.
This is impossible.
Mike, the Fantasy Hitman Wright, can't be proved wrong or right with one of his projections, potentially. And Adam Trautman suffered an ankle injury. We'll get an MRI today.
He went into the tent, and then he left on the cart with his shoe off. And I did not like what I saw, fellas. I was emotionally upset.
Does this music kind of lay it out for you? Is this how you were feeling?
I was in a bad way. I did my my bike ride, my stationary bike ride. I did it to just pure silence.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yes. I was actually upset last night. It was like,
hello, darkness, yes, my it was, old friend.
How is this happening again?
That so last offseason, if you don't remember, Blake Jarwin, Mike's tight end, and both of your picks they're very. You know, deeper tight end breakout opportunities that now, am I right that Adam Trautman caught zero passes in the entire preseason?
I believe that is correct, yes.
So you didn't even, and Jarwin caught one last year.
Yes,
so,
catch rate of 100%.
And I guess technically Troutman's still batting 1,000.
He has no drops.
That we don't know the severity of the injury yet, but this, I mean, he's off the draft board now that you have to wait and see. Maybe.
Yeah, you're not drafting two tight ends to hold one to hope they break out.
Yes, I'm not holding Adam Trautman in hopes that the breakout actually happens. It's, wait for more news. Now, you are correct that he had not caught any passes. He was still on the field as much as I had hoped for, but...
Good of a blocker.
Yeah, but we haven't seen We haven't seen his true potential yet, and we may not see it this year.
It also factors into, you know, Marquez Callaway, the weapon alone right now is troubling. All right, now to the final Dest to Jason section of the news.
Fantastic.
We did get a positive report. Clyde Edwards-Helaire went through the morning walkthrough, participated in stretching, individual position drills. It's looking pretty good for Clyde to be all right for game one.
Yeah, it certainly means that it was not a grade two. It was not the scary Michael Thomas injury. Whether or not he might get off to a slow start week one, it's not concerning to me. In fact, I would draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire now where I was drafting him.
And then CeeDee Lamb was placed on the reserve COVID list.
That's a second, my guy, but this one's not too big a deal. Obviously not. We don't know if this was close contact but he's not in jeopardy of missing any games that we are aware of.
And then Brandon Ayuk entered the witness protection program.
Thank goodness. That's my third. Let's keep him healthy. Keep him safe.
Darrell Henderson, mild thumb sprain. If you saw the news yesterday, should be ready for the season opener. Jonnu Smith back at Patriots practice. And then Matt Nagy did tell reporters today that Justin Fields will start the final preseason game because Andy Dalton will not be playing because he's the week one starter. And
you don't want to sacrifice your lamb too early. And that is week one is the Rams game.
Now let me just one final thought here. We've been joking about the fact that, look, you play the Rams in week one. Andy Dalton starts against them. That's a tough game. You put Justin Fields in there, you might get beat up. What if Dalton dominates in that game? What
you said that with a straight face. That was good.
Yeah, I mean, what if he has? What if he has a great week?
Oh,
one?
Wait, we're talking about this.
We're gonna go with the joke.
If he plays well, then he's gonna be the starter
yes,
week two.
He will clearly stay the starter week two.
All right, that was today's news and notes presented by Sleeper. They just released their new web app. We've been setting up. We just got the Listener League set up in there, and their new app is part of 21 new things that they updated for 2021.
Oh, I see what you did, Sleeper.
Yeah, so can't wait for 2055.
Gotcha.
So make the switch over to Sleeper, number one in Dynasty already, and they'll be number one in Redraft soon. So definitely check out the platform.
And before we move into our breakout
picks.
Oh,
I'm so excited.
Which I promise Adam Trautman will not be in my featured
breakout. That's our breakdown pick.
But, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank today's sponsor, FanDuel. New FanDuel Fantasy Players, your day is about to get 20% better. Start playing fantasy this football season, and FanDuel will give you a 20% bonus on your first deposit up to $500. That's the big-time bonus, and all you need to do to claim it is make your first deposit. Been talking about FanDuel for a bit here, and they are the perfect complement to your season-long leagues. You get to start a new lineup every single week. Were you very excited for Adam Trautman and he's on your team? Well, on FanDuel, you get to pivot. You get a brand new tight end. You get set new lineups every game day. They have a bunch of different game formats, main slate, single game, best ball, snake draft. You got to check it out. And you can even play private contests with your friends. Very excited to try some season-long some DFS this year as we're making it happen in Arizona. And experience season-long wins without the season-long wait. Sign up today at FanDuel.com/FFF to claim your bonus and start playing today. That's FanDuel.com/FFF. Age and location restrictions apply. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires after 30 days.
And want to thank Head & Shoulders. Great sponsor. Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield technology is never not working to give you 100% dandruff protection, even between washes. And our Never Not Working segment, presented by Head & Shoulders.
It's never not working.
I mean, people loving that. And you want to know why? Because it's great. We're never not working for you. We are coming up with the what to do when three wide receivers are drafted together on the same team in ADP, the second and third round rookie running back picks. Go listen to those segments last week, the week before, and stay tuned for Thursday. Our Never Not Working segment is going to be awesome. And use Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield technology. It works
dandruff
day and night.
Be gone.
Oh, yeah. You don't want them flakes?
No.
Get out of here with that junk.
No, you're looking bad.
You can get up to 100% dandruff protection that's never not working with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield technology, available at Walmart.com.
Breakouts.
All of our sleepers, breakouts, busts, and values are in the Ultimate Draft Kit. You can check those out. Those are all of our consensus picks for each of those. Today, we want to bring forth kind of a individual breakout pick. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to kick it off. I'm excited. This guy was on the cusp of a my guy. In fact, the reason he wasn't selected or was removed from consideration is because his teammate was selected by my teammate, Mike Wright.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Diontae Johnson, wide receiver for the, I think, resurgent Pittsburgh Steelers offense.
Okay. All right, let's go.
We've talked a lot about how good it's looked in the preseason. It has looked as good as the Cardinals offense has looked bad. It has been one of
I
the
don't
more,
like that comparison, but it is fair.
It is accurate. Yeah, Cardinals, I believe, went three possessions, all three and out, gained -1 yard with the starters. So
that's how you stay safe.
Yes.
Just don't play.
Just don't play. But Diontae Johnson last year in 15 games had 144 targets, 88 receptions, 9.6 targets per week for Diontae Johnson. And the reality is in this preseason, in my opinion, and you guys can weigh in as well, he's looked like the go-to receiver once again. Had a big play in the last preseason game. Hasn't been coming off the field. Whereas when they're in two wide receiver sets, Juju and Claypool have been, you know, sharing some of that time. And volume is king in fantasy. And for whatever reason, like, Diontae is not getting a lot of respect for a player that's top five in targets. His average draft position's in the late fifth round right now. I don't know where you could find guaranteed volume that late in drafts. And he had the highest target share per snap in the entire NFL. And this is still a player that is ascending, in my opinion, as an athlete, as a young wide receiver. And everybody's emotions went to the drops of last season because he led the league in drops. But when you lead in target share per snap, you have the higher probability or opportunity for drops. And if you look back over the last few years, I think we get too emotional about that. Mm-hmm. Leaders in drops in 2019 was Edelman. 2018 was Landry, Ridley, and Julio. 2017 was Keenan Allen. That doesn't mean that those players are getting benched, and this offense doesn't function without Deontay Johnson. So to me, it's another one of those draft value elite upside combinations that makes me really, really excited. In Dynasty, I was offered Corey Davis and Odell Beckham in exchange for Deontay Johnson, who I have on my roster. I said no to that offer. I'm not willing to give up on the elite upside of a young man that's averaging 10 targets a week. So I to me, he is a great breakout candidate to go up over 1,000 yards, go up over 100 receptions, and really, you know, if he gets in the end zone,
right,
watch out.
He's a very safe option in the middle rounds for volume. It is there. And the thing that you said that I like the most when I look at Deontay Johnson is he doesn't come off the field. And they drafted Pat Freiermuth. They're going to be in more two tight end sets, more two wide receivers on the field. And Claypool's the supreme athlete here. That's why Mike loves him, that breakout. Mm-hmm. He makes Deontay Johnson look, you know, unathletic. But Deontay is the wide receiver one for this team when it comes to targets, snap percentage, that type of stuff. I think he is very, very safe. And then it's, you know, the touchdowns, the non-sticky metric. If those happen to go his way, he will have a great season.
He had three games last year where he was injured, so he had two targets, one, and then didn't play at all. So he was banged up to start the year, still ended up at 144. And while he's safe, he still had, you know, he had a number three overall finish, number five overall finish, seven overall finish. So he still gave you some elite weeks. And then at the end of the year was the like benching problem in week 17. So I don't think we've seen the best of Deontay over the course of a year yet.
Yeah, I like Deontay Johnson a lot. Just I see where the ceiling that Chase Claypool, if he really takes the second year leap like I'm projecting, he can jump into elite category. I don't think that Deontay Johnson can make that jump, but he is extremely solid, and I would love to have him on my team as wide receiver two, wide receiver three. Now, he's in that range. He's in the Tyler Lockett round for me, which is the fifth round. But depending on team makeup, maybe you have a couple wide receivers earlier that are the higher variance, big play type of receivers, and you're like, well, I just need some safe half-point or full-point PPR points here, and Deontay Johnson is an excellent target for that.
If you have a safe wide receiver one, you should go Tyler Lockett in the fifth round. If you have a up-and-down wide receiver one, right, you should go Deontay Johnson in the fifth round.
Yeah, if you went three running backs or you grabbed one of the early tight ends, and so you only have one other wide receiver on your roster, Deontay is fantastic.
Breaking news.
Couple bits of news just broke. First one, Robbie Anderson,
Boke.
Panthers. What did I say?
Boke.
Just broke?
But you dropped the R. It was a silent R.
I won't concede that I did. 2-year, $29.5 million extension for Panthers wide receiver Robbie Anderson.
Jason's just nodding silently.
I'm just thrilled because I didn't know what the breaking news was.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard Robbie Anderson. I'm like ready to die over here. I just assume Robbie Anderson has been lost. We cannot find him. He went on an airplane that disappeared. I don't know. But that's great. That's great. I traded for him in Dynasty. It's
him
good
and Amelia
news.
Earhart.
So yes. I'm not sure right now, since it just broke from Adam Schefter, whether or not it's a 2-year extension on top of the existing year. I would assume that's the case, like,
yeah,
as opposed to just a new deal. But Robbie got the bag. $20.5 million guaranteed for Robbie Anderson.
Good for you, man.
Let's go.
And then also there is a report from Dan Campbell concerned that DeAndre Swift will be not ready for week one.
Ooh. Well,
here's the full quote.
That's not great.
We don't know if he's going to be there. We don't know, even if he is, how much we're going to get out of him.
Wow.
So that's a problem. And where you have to draft Swift, I assume most people are hoping to drop him right into your starting lineup in week one.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, where Swift is going, he has to be a starter. So that makes it very difficult to draft a guy that you're not sure is going to be there week one. We'll obviously have more information for tomorrow's show.
But if the Swift targets are not there in week one, Jason, who's going to get them?
It goes right into my breakout. I don't want to cheer this news, but it does add a little bit of fuel to the fire of...
Wait a second. I'm a little worried that if you say the name...
Right, yes.
There could be the final just to Jason.
Someone else say it.
Jason's going to talk about TJ Hockenson.
Thank you, Mike. Let's talk about TJ Hockenson.
What if you just start calling the players like their number?
Oh, that's
would that protect them?
I don't know.
Or will everyone try with that something? Just vanish.
Yeah, now I'm hurting more players. Now I'm going across all NFL teams. No, but TJ Hockenson is my breakout pick, and I'm really excited we had this show because I don't think we've talked enough about TJ Hockenson's potential to break out, certainly not for my liking, because I'm very, very confident in a breakout for TJ Hockenson. In fact, I don't really know how it doesn't happen, outside of obviously getting injured, but if he's out there, Here's just a reminder of who TJ Hockenson is over the last 2 years, right? He was drafted number 8 overall, 3 picks behind, you know, all everybody's up in arms of the number 5 overall pick, Kyle Pitts. Now, Kyle Pitts is a more talented prospect leaving college, but he was the number 8 pick in the NFL draft. He was drafted to be great. His rookie year, he had a rookie tight end year, 32 receptions, 367 yards, 2 touchdowns. Pretty meaningless, as most rookie tight ends do.
48 drops.
And yes. And then he over doubled every single one of those numbers last year as a sophomore, which is still not the year that tight ends break out. I've been talking about my report we just published on year 2 running backs, year 2 wide receiver breakouts. That report found that the year breakout for tight ends is year 3. From weeks 1 through 14 last year, he was the tight end 3. He was within 30 points of Darren Waller last year. And since the year 2000, there have only been 9 second-year tight ends with 100 targets, and he is one of them. And the list is pretty much all Hall of Famers. But to give you an idea of how good this second year, you're like, this second year, oh, he kind of broke out, and you think, but yeah, but we've seen it, and it wasn't that special. This was really special for second-year tight ends aren't usually what breaks out. Here's how special it was. In this last century, the only tight ends who have had as good a sophomore season, here's the list: Rob Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates, George Kittle, Jason Witten, Mark Andrews, Aaron Hernandez, Todd Heap, Chris Cooley, and Travis Kelce.
That's a
shout out to Todd Heap.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you haven't been playing long and you don't remember Chris Cooley or Todd Heap, or even Aaron Hernandez, these guys were.
That list is crazy.
Yeah, that list is 100% hit rate. I mean, maybe Mark Andrews disappointed and doesn't go on to something, and Chris Cooley's not a Hall of Famer, but like those guys are awesome. That's what he did. That's what he already did. But now look at year 3. He's coming into a situation which is the best possible situation outside of replacing Travis Kelce. Like, the argument for Darren Waller a couple years ago was there were no other guys to target. There's no other guys to target. No Kenny Golladay. No Marvin Jones. No Danny Amendola. They lost over 300 targets
right now. To be fair, there was no Kenny Golladay and no Marvin Jones last year.
They
for
lost
the majority of the year.
No. They lost over 300 of last year's targets. So the people that were targeted last year, 300 of them, the majority of the entire team's targets are gone. And yes, they got a slight downgrade at quarterback, but this isn't, they're not going to Tyrod Taylor. They're not even going to some promising rookie. Jared Goff is
okay.
Serviceable. I mean,
he's pretty good.
He's pretty good. He's not great, but I mean, he's supported Higbee.
He's better than bad.
He's better than bad. He's good. I mean, he's supported Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and these other options. And the replacements here are literal scraps that have fallen off the dinner table. I mean, Tyrell Williams Breshad Perriman.
Come on.
Both these guys have been in the league for 5 years. Both of these guys have a very not nice career high of 69 receptions. Breshad Perriman's never even hit 700 yards. And the reports out of camp has been basically that they're not that great. And now apparently DeAndre Swift. My point is, he is going to dominate target share here. He's going to be a 25% target share for this offense. He just has to be. And if you're that level with his athleticism going into a year three, he breaks out. So I am confident. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, the reason I didn't make him a my guy is because when I'm in that fifth round where he's going and I see Deontay Johnson, I see Tyler Lockett, a lot of times with how I'm building my roster, I bypass him for the wide receivers at right. the more important position. But if those guys aren't there, I am very confident that TJ Hockenson will be a plug-and-play tight end this year. We've talked about the value. I really genuinely think he's going to break out, and I don't think you're going to go wrong drafting him this year. That's my view on Hockenson.
No, I don't agree with that at all. I don't disagree with that at all.
Those are very different things.
You're not going to go
wrong. Which one is it, Holloway?
You're not going to go wrong with drafting TJ Hockenson. My only hesitation is about break. I don't think he'll break out. I think he broke out and will do the same thing. So if you liked it, draft him.
Because
most of the top 10 tight ends, if you go like last year and you go back a couple of years, you generally have a connection with a solid, great quarterback. Now, last year, Mike Gesicki was at 6 with a tough quarterback situation. You normally have one or two in the top 10. But the big guys are generally connected with more competence than Jared Goff.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo and Derek Carr are in the tier of Jared Goff.
You consider them in the tier of Jared Goff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
definitely do. I don't think, I mean, obviously Kelce
has the
Mahomes.
The fantasy, yeah, okay. Garoppolo is a fair comparison.
All those teams are also trying to get rid of their quarterback.
Right, yeah. They're like, this is like, mediocre. But
the Rams were just very successful in getting rid of Goff.
And he, you know, he had 100 and, I think, 101 targets, something like that. I think he has at least 135 targets.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is like, kind of what is the, for him to break out from last year, what do you have him statted at? Because last year he ended up with 67 for 723 and 6, which mm-hmm. is a,
pretty good.
I mean, that is a great year. Finished at 4 at the position.
Yeah, I have him significantly higher than that. I have him with 135 targets, 95 receptions, 1,030 yards.
Holy moly.
And 7 touchdowns.
I think you can do it.
That is a huge breakout from last season. That is a potential top 3 finish.
Yes, I think that is in the cards for Hockenson.
Okay, moving on to Mr. Mike, the Fantasy Hitman. Who's your breakout pick?
I'm going to be talking about Michael Pittman Jr. Now, you may have I tweeted out yesterday with the positive news of Carson Wentz. You know, it's like Michael Pittman was on track to be a my guy for me. I love him in the late rounds, but with the...
You traded for him in a dynasty league.
I did,
league.
And I
put your money where your mouth was.
I overpaid to get Michael Pittman in a dynasty league. And then, of course, right after that, it was the Carson Wentz news of the injury. He's going to be out 5 to 12 weeks, I can't make Michael Pittman a my guy based off of that information. But now it looks like Carson Wentz is either going to be good to go week one or far sooner than later. So we will have his starting quarterback. Michael Pittman last year in games played was seeing 14% of the targets. That's not elite, but that's also not nothing. So he would not be breaking out of absolutely nowhere. His yards after catch ability was already on display. I mean, and you liked to poke fun at him.
He
ran the same route every play. But just like on when you're playing someone in Madden and one play works over and over and over, why would you stop doing that play if it's very successful? The draft pedigree doesn't go away. He was a second-round pick, a very high second-round pick in that year, 2020, of the crazy, you know, these wide receivers that really restocked the NFL, and he was the Colts' first pick. He was a second-round pick, but the Colts' first guy. He's 6'4". He's 220-plus pounds. He is the prototypical build of a wide receiver one, and we've seen second-year wide receivers, not just the ones that we've been talking about, break out, but guys where you saw a little bit in the first year, so you weren't very confident that they were going to have that true breakout as a second-year player, but it happened, and they were drafted later in ADP. Guys, Randall Cobb, Alshon Jeffrey, Davante Adams. Remember, Davante Adams?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not just us, but he was crushed universally, and someone, you're like, this guy's...
I don't remember that at all. I definitely don't remember pointing out that he has never had a 1,000-yard season when he had a 997.
The narrative was that Devonta Adams stinks. And now Devonta Adams is one of the best
wide
receivers.
You heard it here first. Michael Pittman, equal sign, Devonta Adams.
No, that's Brian Edwards, who Derek Carr has come to Devonta
Michael
Adams.
Pittman equals Brian Edwards.
But Cortland Sutton broke out. DJ Chark, second-year breakout, when you weren't fully expecting this to happen. But the opportunity is there. T.Y. Hilton, the past 2 years, who's been – T.Y. Hilton's been
just
the superstar.
Just had a big touchdown in practice today.
He did. But on the field the last 2 years, T.Y. Hilton's averaging 50 yards a game, which is – that's fine, but that means that there is room for someone to come in and be the number one guy, be the true alpha of this offense. He's being selected in the 10th round, so your ADP, your opportunity cost here is absolutely nothing for a player that I think can skyrocket and easily be a top 36 wide receiver.
You were very into Pittman from the start of the offseason, and I know your boy Paris Campbell's coming back again.
Yes.
But I will say this. We just adjusted, you know, the Winston stats. He wasn't as high as we thought. But Carson Wentz does profile with Frank Reich and that offensive line to be interesting. And he has to distribute that ball to somebody. And I think you're right in the fact that Pittman profiles physically as the player with the best ability to or the best potential to level up as a second-year guy. And I know, you know, Frank Reich went up and got him.
Right.
You know, really, really was excited about the possibility of him developing. So I hope they give him more routes this year and you get to see him down the field a little bit more because that's the higher value, you know, reception.
Yeah, it's one of those things where he fell outside of the scope of that round 4 through 8 study that we found where everybody breaks out. But I don't believe that he would be in the 10th round if it wasn't for the Carson Wentz injury. I think that if Carson Wentz was just
he would have snuck into the 8.
I think he would have snuck into the 8 and been totally a piece of that really, you know, very promising
right.
analytical argument. So I do apply that to Pittman. And the great news is, doesn't even cost you anything.
So we want to move into our interview with Austin Ekeler. He had a lot to say, and we're excited to share that with you. But I just, you know, I want a bonus breakout pick from each of us.
One more thing?
Well, yeah,
there's
a restaurant out here in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Bobby Q's.
Oh, yeah.
And you eat a delicious meal. And then, like, as you're leaving, they hand you a brown bag full of donuts.
That's great.
Which really, like, the first, it's like, oh, what's happening? But then you're like, yeah, I like a little more at the end, specifically donuts. So who's your bonus?
My bonus donuts is Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy, second-year wide receiver, I think can definitely break out.
All the second-year wide receivers.
Give them to me. I mean, I will stock my whole team with them.
I'm going to go Kyle Pitts. I'm going to echo the you know... the loud cries of Kyle Pitts. I think he has a guaranteed target share in this offense. They're going to move him around, not use him like a tight end. In fact, you may see Hayden Hurst and Kyle Pitts on the field together a lot.
I don't mind it. The silence, though, on news of Kyle Pitts out of Atlanta is making noise. Like I'm not seeing any beat reporters hyping him up. I mean, that is a little bit concerning for me. Do you have concern with that, or you just think that they're inept down there and they're not seeing it?
Well, I think it's more neutral. Like, there hasn't been, you know, puff pieces, but there hasn't been negative press. And I've watched practices and seen him make plays, and you're losing Julio from this offense. So his athleticism will be pretty chill. And, you know, this is not, you know, there's not a hype man.
No Bruce Arians
head
down there?
Coach down there. So.
All right, my bonus donut pick is Damien Harris, running back for the New England Patriots, and I get all of the arguments of not wanting to go in on a New England Patriots running back. If that's how you want to play fantasy football, I do not blame you, but this is you don't have to spend a very high pick for Damien Harris. He's looked good. The drumbeat has continued for him throughout training camp, and to me, the biggest argument that can hold Damien Harris back, that I don't argue against it, it's Cam Newton. At the goal line, if Cam Newton decides I'm scoring the touchdown, Cam Newton is going to score the touchdown. We have far too much evidence of him being awesome at that play. But Mac Jones has looked incredible during preseason. Bill Belichick is still not named a starting quarterback for week one. It's feeling more and more like Mac Jones will also be a starting rookie quarterback sooner than later. And then if Mac Jones is the guy, that concern at the goal line, that instantly vanishes and becomes Damien Harris territory.
They are starting the season, since we were monitoring that with these quarterback battles. They're starting the season against Miami. So just putting it out there. Not sure what they're going to do. I think they should start Mac Jones, but we shall see. Without further ado, let's jump into our interview with Awesome Excellent.
You talking to me?
The Fantasy Footballers thrilled to once again welcome in Austin Eckler, running back for the Los Angeles Chargers. Thank you so much for joining us today. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Good to be back.
First, Andy, before you jump into the question, I would like you to address Mr. Eckler appropriately from his name on this show. I don't know if he's aware of his name.
Sorry. Awesome Excellent is with us today. We don't settle for changing just one of your names.
Awesome Excellence, huh?
You upgraded over time. Yeah. You started as Awesome Eckler, and then you just did better. And so it's like, well, where do we go from Awesome Eckler? We go to Awesome Excellent.
Hey, I'll take it. I appreciate it. Appreciate the love.
We have been just enthralled with all of the preseason hype and fantasy football rankings and stats. You know the game. Yeah. But let me start there, actually. How much do you, because you're getting into the fantasy football world, we know that. How much do you look at the stats and the stat lines yourself? I mean, I know that the party line is, you know, nothing matters, we get the W, but like, are you paying attention to that stuff closer than your teammates might be?
I don't know if I'm paying attention to it closer, but I acknowledge it and recognize it, know the power and the value of it. Probably more than my teammates do. And actually, that's why I'm on this podcast, you know, things like this. That's why I'm immersing myself into this kind of place, right, as far as fantasy football. Because for me, you know, I didn't realize fantasy football was as big as it was probably until like after my second year in the league. And then some people kept reaching out, like, hey, thanks for scoring me this many fantasy points. And then it got to the point where only people like recognized me, hey, man, you're on my fantasy team. And I was like, let me look into this thing. Like, what the heck? You know, it's led me to just, you know, be appreciative of, you know, fantasy football in a different way than I used to when I was playing it back in high school.
Yeah, there's not just Charger fans. There are Austin Eckler fans, mm-hmm. you know, from other cities for sure. Do you set, like, goals for yourself from the statistical standpoint in terms of what you'd love to see? Either, you know, workload or hitting a certain...
1,000 Eckler. We want 1,000 and 1,000.
Yes, I do set goals as much as possible. Every single year, every single game, every single year. Yeah, I'm trying to score them all. I even tell people that, like, look, I'm trying to score you guys as many fantasy points as I can.
Yeah.
Well, right? Then here's a follow-up question. You want to score us fantasy points. We've all watched Hard Knocks last year. We saw you high jumping those pile drills. Have you yet gone in and demanded the goal line work, or is that on tomorrow's agenda? When are getting to be the goal line guy?
Look, here's the thing, man. It comes, there's players and there's coaches, right?
That's what I'm saying. Players gotta go talk to coach.
So I have, you know, I have a little bit of say, but at the end of the day, you know, they're gonna put, you know, some, you know, missile that they think can pile drive their way in there. Look, and I'm not saying I'm not gonna get goal line, you know, but as far as my body type, we have to realize I weigh 195 pounds. You know, so there's some practicality things, right? It's all good, man. It's all good. I gotta score from the 3-point line. It's more points anyway.
Yeah,
so
there you go, there
so
you
it's
go.
All good.
It is always interesting with the like stereotypical goal line back though, right? Because you have had more undersized backs come in and be really effective statistically on the goal line. But then it does seem like the tradition in coaching is to find the big boy for
yeah, and it's all based on leverage and what kind of body you are. Like I know, like Boston Scott for like the Eagles, like that dude, he's amazing at goal line. He's 5'6", but he's 5'6", like 205, right? Like his body type is just like he's like a freaking a tree stump out there. You know, it's hard to take that man down. So yeah, it just depends. Like, hey, can you do it? Can you do it or can you not? It's kind of what it is. And Coach Lynn, you know, he was, you know, old school running back coach. And so he wanted his big body down there.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. You spent so many years with Coach Lynn. Now you've got a new offense, a new offensive system. How are you acclimating to that, and are you excited about the new year with Staley and Lombardi?
Yeah, very excited. You know, as you mentioned at the beginning, a lot of hype around the Chargers. And there is, for a good reason, too, because we have a lot of, you know, exciting things coming as far as, like, a new O-line. You know, Joe Lombardi on the offense, bringing new offense from, you know, New Orleans to here. You know, I'm excited about that because it's going to get me really involved, which I have been in the past, too. But, you know, it's going to be more of that. And just obviously Coach Staley and then, you know, Jay Herbs coming off his rookie of the year. So there's just a lot of, you know, new aspects that are here, but also a lot of existing, you know, things that we know can have the potential to be really good. So all of that in one area, one organization, as long as we stay healthy, we put that on the field, we can turn that hype into something that actually is something to be excited about.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yes. Last year you had to watch, unfortunately, the breakout of your quarterback, Justin Herbert. You had to watch some of that from the sidelines. Talk to me about what you like about Justin and what types of things is he improving on heading into year two, and what are the expectations?
Right. I feel like everyone last year obviously saw his talent as far as arm talent, you know, his legs, but you know, what one thing he was not able to get was that year of experience, right? Like just having experience in the league, and especially confidence coming in, knowing you're going to be the starter is night and day different. Right now he's able to, you know, start building chemistry. He's able to start attacking the game. Like, hey, I'm starting this game, so I have to make sure I prepare like I know everything, right? You know, coming in as backup, trying to get, you know, acclimated in, you know, with Tyrod in front of him, he's like a little bit more, maybe more relaxed, you know, not saying he was, but it's just like, it's easier to fall into that. Right. And not being like, hey, the whole organization and Chargers are all depending on you right now. That's the pressure he has on him. And I know he's ready for that. Like he wants that, you know, he sees all the 10 jerseys all around the stadium, right? Everyone's got his eyes on him. And so I love that because he's a competitor too. He's like, hey, I want this to be perfect. I want us to go as a team and move forward. And so as far as Jay Herb and his mindset, he's not one of those guys, he's a big rah-rah guy. He's down to earth. He's going to talk to you. You know, he's been building his confidence just as far as leadership and just actually being able to understand how to run actual offense. You know, he's still young for sure. Like he's still not, you know, I had Phillip for 3 years. Being around that guy was insane. Just he would know what the defense was trying to do based on who the defensive coordinator was. Not even looking at the looks. Like, oh, they're going to give us this look in this third down. It's just like, that guy was crazy. So it's night and day. It's definitely different. But, you know, I see him making progress, which is, you know, what we can ask for.
And how's the hair?
The hair's getting long, man. He's okay. Getting his flow.
There we go.
Back.
We were worried. All right, so you play fantasy. You know the game. You got the middle rounds, the mid-late rounds. Mike Williams sitting there seems like a value. Late rounds, Josh Palmer looks to be, you know, maybe a valuable weapon. Who do you think is the better value in fantasy?
Ooh, because as far as like our guys, man, like Mike Williams is definitely going to be like, you know, fade ball in the end zone, you know, go deep over top. You know, his speed is not going to take the top off the edge, but he's going to jump up and grab that thing. Mm-hmm. Josh Palmer, you know, that guy, he's been really actually, you know, just impressing me in camp as far as how smooth he is, his hands, how quick this man can run. I think he's going to be someone who is going to become a fan favorite pretty quick with the Chargers when they see him out there with Jay Herb. But yeah, I'm liking Palmer right now as far as receivers late in the rounds for sure.
Can you ask Mike Williams on our behalf to fall softer, please? From these please, high man. Points these balls, please. And then you see him come down, and you're like, how do you fall so violently all the time?
We right? just need a sideline teammate that has one of those pads that you
just
drop.
Slide it under them,
you know, like when the trampoline dunkers go there. They're not landing on that hardwood. He's so right. high when he falls.
Oh, my God. I know. He pays the price for it, too, man. This man's shoulders. I'm just like, Mike. That's how he plays. He's going to climb the ladder, and he's coming down hard. Have you seen those crate challenges? It's like those. Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right, Austin. We have, speaking, this is very fantasy football related. Your teammate, Keenan Allen, elite, one of the favorites among the fantasy football community. But we got to jump into the time machine. Last year, week 15 against the Raiders.
Oh, no.
It was, we didn't know if Keenan was going to play or not. And everyone was making this decision in their champion or in their semi-championship week. He turns to the camera and says, "Don't sit me." And then our man Keenan goes out there 1 for 17, unfortunately not able to finish the game. I hope that you, if for the fantasy football community, at least gave him a little bit of guff for telling us not to sit him, and then,
oh man,
then calamity.
Oh, see, I didn't hear about that.
Oh,
I did not hear about that. Oh, that's brutal.
Yes,
that's brutal.
Well, what Mike's saying is he's going to text you next time that Keenan Allen stares at the camera, yeah, and make sure.
And what I'm saying is, he said, "Don't sit me," and I said, "You got it, Keenan Allen. Let's go."
Or saying is, "We are listening. Just don't lie. Just right. Don't lie to our faces."
I already said this before, man. There's players and there's coaches.
Players always want to play. I think that's the headline.
100%.
So, talk to us about what you're doing with this the new segment Eckler's Edge on Yahoo Sports. Sounds exciting.
No, it's a new way for me to kind of just, you know, immerse myself into the fantasy football world, you know, even more than I am now. Like I said before, like I love to connect to the community, and this is a way for me to give back in a way, as far as like, hey, you're learning and listening to someone who's actually going to be out there playing, or might even be on your team, you know, talking about what I'm seeing in fantasy, what I'm seeing in the matchup, you know, talking about, you know, other people, other players, diagnosing some coaches talk that's out there. I'm really looking forward to that segment. It'll be coming up. Don't want to get too many details away. Definitely come check it out. But it's just a way, it's a different way for me to interact. I love interacting with fans. And now that I understand the value of fantasy fans, I wanted to get into this space as well. And so it's just a way for me to have a platform working with Yahoo to work with my fantasy league, obviously through them. And then also, you know, give some insight from my perspective, current player, as far as fantasy. And it's like, even in our locker room, I don't see a lot of people talking about fantasy football, right? Like, we don't talk about it. But the thing is, I think it's because people don't really realize how big of a following and how big of like a platform fantasy football actually is. And I think, you know, we don't do ourselves, you know, justice by actually not getting into it. I feel like it's just another way for us. Like, I love connecting with fantasy football people. I'm on the street. People don't say, hey, you're a Charger player. They're like, hey, you're on my fantasy team. You know, like, and I love that. Like, it's great because it puts my face in front of them. And so it's just, I'm trying to use that platform. That's what it's about with Yahoo.
Well, that's awesome, and we know Liz over there.
Yeah, she's great.
She's amazing. So the Foot Clan should definitely check that out, Eckler's Edge over on Yahoo Sports. I hope more players do what you're doing and embrace the world of fantasy football, because the reason we have this show, it's the community. It's the people. It's getting to, you know, tune into each and every game and caring about, you know, more than just your home team. So we certainly appreciate you coming on to the show once again and want to wish you the absolute best heading into the new season. Go get that goal line work.
Let's go. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on. Again, looking forward to next time.
Take care.
See you, buddy.
See ya.
All right. That's going to do it for today's show. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation with Austin Eckler. I know I did.
He's a fun guy.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Yeah. He had a setup already, too. You see that? He's on he gets on Twitch. Young kids.
That's what I mean. Like, Eckler, he understands. He is playing the game the right way. He is setting things up for off the field.
Yeah, I had no idea fantasy football was so big. All right, so we want to thank our sponsors as we close things out. Traeger Grills, of course. Maybe your team wasn't looking so great. You forgot to tune in to us last year. But at least your taste buds are going to be winning.
Mm-hmm.
Every week when you fire up your Traeger wood-fired grill on game day. Unlike reaching for a quarterback in the second round. Don't do that. There's no risk when you're cooking on a Traeger. Set it and forget it controls maintain consistent temperatures to ensure perfect results every single time. You can watch the game, not the grill. That's my policy. And their Wi-Fi technology takes things a step further by letting you monitor your cooks, adjust grill temperatures, browse hundreds of wood-fired recipes right from your phone. I just love that word, wood-fired.
Yeah.
Doesn't it just make everything better?
I just love the taste.
Yeah, that means you don't even have to get off the couch to check your food. And with the ability to, catch this, grill, smoke, bake, roast, braise, barbecue, you can cook all your game day favorites, burgers, wings, briskets, brownies, all on the grill.
Jerky.
Yep. Traeger grills are fueled by all natural hardwood pellets to give you real wood-fired flavor in every bite. So go ahead and lock a Traeger grill into your lineup by heading to Traeger.com/footballers. Today, that's Traeger.com/footballers.
And Foot Clan, remember, Pristine Auction, the best sports memorabilia site of all time. Go sign up with the code BALLERS, and you'll get a $10 credit, and you could get in on things like an auction for a T.J. Hockenson signed NFL football.
You have my attention.
That thing was sitting at $27 the last time we saw it, and a Jalen Hurts signed Eagles full-size helmet Last time we saw it, it was sitting at just $31, and those auctions end on Thursday night. Go check it out.
It's pristineauction.com. Code BALLERS. Get that credit. Thanks for tuning in, supporting the show, and if you want to get in the Mega Bowl, it's megalobowl.com. Do it now.
See you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.